Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Memorize the Faith and Most Anything Else Using the Methods of the Great Catholic Medieval Memory Masters by Kevin Vost, narrated by Tom Parks. Publisher's note, this audiobook contains references to visuals present in the print and ebook editions of the book. Notes to listeners of this book. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. A note to adult listeners. Do you see memorization as one of those childish things you have gladly given up? Perhaps you have some less than pleasant memories of having to memorize things in childhood. Did you have to remember the books of the Bible in a Sunday school program? Or the 50 state capitals in fourth grade geography? Wasn't it boring? Perhaps you were taught a few mnemonic, memory-aiding tricks along the way. Homes for the Great Lakes, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior, or Every Good Boy Does Fine, EGBDF, for the lines of the treble clef. Maybe you even picked up My Very Eccentric Mother Just Served Us 9 Pizzas, or Man Very Early Made Jars Stand Up Nearly Perpendicular, MVEMJSUNP, to help you remember the 9 planets in their order from the Sun: Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. But I'll bet it was still more drudgery than fun, right? And you probably no longer remember most of what you learned. As effective as such techniques can be for short-term use, they're more than a little cumbersome. And anyway, most information doesn't lend itself to such simple arrangements. Mnemonic techniques like those are a hodgepodge, not a formal system with wide applications. Given the dreariness of rote memorization and the ultimate ineffectiveness of most mnemonic tricks, I wouldn't be surprised if you've concluded that memorization is something you've given up for good. But I'm going to try to convince you that memorization itself is not one of those childish ways. In fact, there are methods for memorization, tried and tested for thousands of years, that go far beyond the rote repetition and acronym techniques of our school days. And these techniques can be very valuable for you in your adult life. In the first part of this book, I compare these ancient memory systems to the stone that the builders rejected that later serves as the cornerstone of a great edifice. The edifice we'll build is one of knowledge and memory. These techniques come down to us primarily from the ancient Greek poet Simonides and the philosopher Aristotle, from Marcus Tullius Cicero, hailed by some as the most profound and influential thinker of all the ancient Romans, and by two of the most sublime doctors of the Catholic Church, St. Albert the Great, the universal doctor, and St. Thomas Aquinas, the patron saint of scholars. This memory system is not kid stuff, although children can be taught to use it, and we'll be applying it to the most relevant information imaginable: the facts, doctrines, persons, and principles of Christ's Church. You'll hear a lot about the fullness of the Catholic Church, 2,000 years of history, piety, and doctrine, of works of art, feats of heroism, and acts of charity. But how much of this fullness have you actually drunk in? This book will show you how to absorb more of the Church's riches by tapping into your underutilized powers of thought and memory. These powers were given to you by God to be used for knowing and loving Him better. And the techniques in this book will help you develop them to a degree few modern souls have experienced. The very exercise of memory techniques, such as the ones in this book, can also be a noble and edifying experience when their subject matter is profound. St. Albert and St. Thomas explicitly recommended the development of memory as an element of a virtuous lifestyle. The intense focus and concentration that mnemonics calls forth can help us shut out the distractions of the world and direct our attention to higher things. Will this book really help you memorize the faith as the title promises? In a qualified sense, yes. Naturally, the full mystery of the faith cannot be completely grasped and remembered using any system. In its fullness, it exceeds our understanding. God has shown us glimpses through revelation, but even the great saints see only through a glass darkly while here on earth. And to live a life of faith surely requires more than memory, or even deep knowledge, of doctrines and facts. It requires prayer and charity and a relationship with God. But in an important sense, memory and knowledge of the facts of our religion are necessary precursors to living a complete life of faith. We must also understand these Christian principles if we are to apply and live by them. But it's hard to think about and apply things you can't remember. Be aware that no less than the Catechism of the Catholic Church, CCC, itself exhorts us in paragraph 22 of its prologue to memorize essential teachings of the Church. A vacuum of religious knowledge. In a 1996 book, an interviewer commenting on the state of the Church said, "Knowledge about faith is also gone, as if it had all of a sudden been mysteriously vacuumed up by an alien power." The interviewee replied in part, "You are right. There has been a collapse even in simple religious information." This naturally forces us to ask, what is our catechesis doing? What is our school system doing at a time when religious instruction is so widespread? I think it was an error not to pass on more content. The book is Salt of the Earth. The interviewer was Peter Sewald. The then cardinal he interviewed is now called Pope Benedict XVI. And so the most ambitious goal of this book is to play some small part in helping to fill in that information vacuum and correct the lack of emphasis on content so sadly prevalent in religious education today. Too often, we neglect the hard facts of our faith. In a world hostile to Christianity, we do this at our peril. So please bear in mind that the value of this book lies both in its content and in its method. Not only will it show you how to memorize a great deal of important religious information, but it will also assist you in developing a fuller use of your mental faculties for concentration and meditation to love and serve the Lord. Further, the powerful new systems of memory techniques you'll learn can be applied to any subject matter, to any area of your life, as will be made apparent, especially in chapter 28. St. Thomas saw memory systems as essential to full realization of the virtue of prudence. For to achieve virtuous goals in the future, we must act in the present, guided by the memories of what we have learned in the past. Therefore, I argue that it would be quite prudent for an adult of any age to memorize the faith with the powerful mnemonic system of St. Thomas Aquinas. And remember, it was St. Paul who exhorted us, as one translation has it, to keep in memory what I preached unto you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. A note to younger listeners. Welcome to this book. If you're a young person, I'm glad you're listening to this section first. Here's why. Adults have some advantages over you when it comes to the kinds of mnemonics, memory systems, or techniques used in this book. For one thing, they've been around longer and will be more likely to be familiar with some of the words I'll be using. But there's no need to worry. That's what dictionaries are for. But you have some advantages over adults. If you're somewhere between junior high school and college age, that brain you're sitting under is probably in very good shape. Sleek and muscular, more flexible than adult minds. You'll be able to draw in new information like a powerful electromagnet, but you must use that power carefully. We don't want our magnets pulling in all kinds of junk, only the good stuff. That takes focus, Because the world around us is constantly tempting us to let our attention wander away toward things of little value. That's why I'd like to begin by helping you focus your mind so you can make the most out of this memory book. I'm going to give you a few tips based on the advice that St. Thomas Aquinas gives to us all in Chapter 2. Organization. We think and remember best when we're organized. But don't fear. I'm not saying you'll have to clean your room to make the most of this book, but it probably wouldn't hurt. The dictionary definition of organize is to pull or put together into an orderly, functional, structured whole, or to arrange or systematize, organize one's thoughts before speaking. Accordingly, the memory methods in this book will put information to be remembered in order, literally in numerical order. They'll serve the function of helping you remember, and they'll form a structured whole. In fact, the structure will be a house. And you'll learn that these memory systems were indeed first invented by public speakers to organize their thoughts before speaking. What's more, the memory techniques in this book will show you not only how to organize information you want to remember, but even how to organize your own thinking abilities in a way that you've never imagined. Imagine your various mental abilities, the ability to pay attention, the ability to form mental visual images, the ability to use language as a team of powerful horses, and imagine yourself as the charioteer. These horses are not going to take you where you want to go if they're pulling in different directions. You've got to train them to work together. So, before you begin, prepare yourself to rein in those mental powers and get ready to go faster and farther with them than you ever have before. Imagination. The memory system I'm going to teach you involves imagining things that sound like or remind you of the things you want to remember. Adults have a small advantage here, because they know more words that sound like things they want to remember. If I, for example, being in excess of 40 years of age, wanted to remember that St. Albert the Great, St. Thomas's teacher, is the patron saint of scientists, I could use the word metaphysics and imagine St. Albert talking with a physicist. Get it? Sounds like met-a-physicist to help me remember. But you could not, because you've never even heard of the word metaphysics. If you have, you have my apologies. But don't worry, we won't use difficult words to remember simple things. We'll be using simple words to remember difficult things. Let's say, for example, that metaphysics comes up in your 8th grade vocabulary lesson, or more likely, in your college philosophy 101 class. Imagine that you met a physicist, like Einstein, with all that white hair. Picture this vividly in your mind, and imagine that you're talking with Einstein about the very first things that go beyond physics, like the reason there even is a universe with physical laws. This image will remind you both of what metaphysics sounds like, met a physicist, and what it means. The study of first things beyond physics. If you can grasp that example, you'll have little trouble understanding the mnemonics in this book. In fact, most will be far simpler. You also have a big advantage when it comes to imagination. You have a very vivid imagination, don't you? Then you'll have no problem picturing in your head some of the bizarre and wacky scenes that appear in this book. And for the great majority of material in this book, you won't even have to make up the images. I'll do that. You'll just have to picture them in your head. Concentration. We've got to focus our mental powers to make the most of our memory abilities. This involves removing unnecessary distractions, which again might or might not involve cleaning your room. Memory techniques are like an inner speaking and an inner writing. It's hard to memorize things when there are competing voices coming from the television or the stereo. I know that from experience. Some of us today are so used to constant noise that it might be hard to concentrate without it. Still, Why not give Silent Study a try and then reward yourself with a movie or some tunes when your memory work is finished? Concentration takes more than just peace and quiet, of course. Too much peace and quiet, and you might do more snoring than studying. To focus your powers on a mental task, you've got to get excited about it. Can you get yourself psyched up to flex your mental muscles and see what they can do? You just might find that it's actually fun to pump up your powers of memory. Repetition. There's a very old saying that repetition is the mother of memory. You can't expect to learn everything in this book in one sitting. We learn best when we learn things in small chunks, and then return to those chunks and rehearse or repeat them again and again. Feel free to listen to this book at your own pace, but don't try to remember too much at once. If you can memorize the contents of one room at a time, or one shorter list within a room, that's just fine. This will be especially important to remember when you come to the Rosary and the books of the Bible, where there are so many things to remember. As they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. A note to homeschoolers. Perhaps this book will best serve its mission in the hands of both young people and adults working together to memorize the faith, as is epitomized in a homeschool. If you're involved in homeschooling, know that I'm going to keep you in mind in the sections ahead. If you're a parent, you'll find special tips for introducing these techniques to your children in Part 5 of this book. Please note, too, that the techniques we'll use to memorize the faith can be used to memorize virtually any academic subject matter. I'll provide those details later on. Memory Master Tips and Facts. Here's an extra feature. At the end of each chapter, you'll find a box with supplementary information to deepen your understanding of the art of memory. You'll see in the chapters ahead that the memory systems are an art as well as a science. The boxes will supply extra tips and notes designed to help you apply mnemonic techniques and to help you learn more about memory, not only from the classical and medieval memory masters, but also from modern psychological theory and research. I'll borrow a bit from the style of St. Thomas's Summa Theologica by using a question and answer format. Note that they're not review questions to see whether you remember what's in the chapters. They're questions that I will answer. Once you've listened to the book, however, I would advise you to go back from time to time and see if you can answer them. Memorize the faith and most anything else. Part 1. The Stone the Builders Rejected. Chapter 1. How to Use This Book. This book is of a very particular sort. The text and illustrations, which can be found in the print and ebook versions of the book, have been structured in such a way that if you go through it carefully and follow the instructions, by the time you finish, you'll be able to remember and name the Ten Commandments, the Seven Capital Sins, the Seven Virtues, the Nine Beatitudes, the Seven Sacraments, the 20 Mysteries of the Rosary, and yes, if you are ambitious enough, even the names of the 46 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, and all of these in order, both forward and backward. You will also be shown how to use your new memory skills to recall the four marks of the Church, the four last things, the five precepts of the Catholic Church, St. Thomas Aquinas's five proofs for the existence of God, the six sins against the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven spiritual works of mercy, the seven corporal works of mercy, the 10 holy days of obligation of the Roman Catholic Church, the 12 apostles, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, 12 sayings of Jesus, chapter and verse, the 14 stations of the cross, 21 great figures in church history, the 25 parts of the cardinal virtues, and the 44 daughters of the capital sins. Finally, you'll acquire specialized memory skills to retain any biblical passages of your choice, chapter and verse, to learn Greek and Latin religious terminology, to remember prayers and creeds, in fact, to recall virtually any material you desire. The subject matter of this book is the most important information in the world and beyond it, namely, the faith. Of course, this book cannot cover everything, so it focuses on a selection of some of the most essential doctrines of the Catholic Church that provide practical guidelines for living a Christian life. For how many of them do you really know and remember? Do you know the Ten Commandments in order? How about the Nine Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, the Four Cardinal and Three Theological Virtues, or the 20 life events of Jesus Christ represented in the Mysteries of the Rosary? If not, what are the odds that you can name the 46 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament? For those of us with children or grandchildren, even if those children attend Catholic schools or catechism classes, how well do you think they would perform on a test of such knowledge of their own faith? If you spend any time quizzing older children and adolescents about their faith, how well do you think your charges would perform? Sadly enough, before the release of the English edition of the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 1994, a study found that only 31% of American Catholics could name Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the authors of the four Gospels of the New Testament. Only 38% could identify Jesus as the one who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. That's not encouraging. "Blessed are the ignorant of their faith" was not a part of that mountain sermon. Other polls found that a significant percentage of Catholics do not believe essential tenets of the faith, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, 30%. This is all disconcerting to us, but is it surprising that so few believe the doctrines of the faith when the flame of our knowledge of the light of faith flickers so dimly and stands so obscured? But what can we do to put fuel in our lamps and cast off the wicker baskets hiding their flames? As I said earlier, part of this book will be about supplying some of that missing content. You can find much of it in any good catechism, of course, but I'm going to give you something more. Have you ever finished a good book of nonfiction and been asked by a friend to summarize it? In my experience, that's not always easy. It's one thing to be edified while sitting in the recliner, and another thing to retain that enlightenment once the footrest is retracted and we set forth into the world again. So often, the light quickly dims as our memory fades with time. But this book is purposefully designed so that you'll be able to recall the gist of what you heard and a good measure of the details by the time we reach the end. How is it possible that you'll be able to remember so much so thoroughly? The cornerstone in the construction of this book is a mnemonic memory-aiding system built into its very foundation, floors, walls, ceilings, and interior decoration. You'll see in a bit why I use the architectural metaphor. The inspiration for this special construction derives from one of the greatest minds in the history of Christianity, the angelic doctor and common doctor of the church, the 13th century Dominican friar St. Thomas Aquinas. In his discussion of memory, in his monumental work, the Summa Theologica, St. Thomas describes and recommends a powerful ancient memory training system called from the writings of the classical Greco-Roman world. For many years prior to my discovery of St. Thomas's writings, I had studied the popular, ancient, and scientific literature on memory strategies and employed them with groups of all ages. In fact, I completed a master's thesis in 1990 on the use of these strategies with adolescents. During my doctoral internship in psychology at a medical school's memory and aging clinic, I tested adults' memories and taught memory improvement techniques to some patients. One man in particular stands out in my recollection. this middle-aged professional, had undergone surgical removal of brain tissue from his left temporal lobe to control his epilepsy, a condition that causes the body to shake uncontrollably at times during episodes called seizures. Now, for the vast majority of the population, this particular region of the left side of the brain is essential for retaining new information obtained through the use of language. After 8 hours of rigorous neuropsychological testing, it was clear that this man had indeed a severely impaired memory for words. Yet his memory for visual materials, such as shapes, colors, and pictures, was entirely normal. So I trained this man in a technique much like the one described by St. Thomas Aquinas. I taught him to transform words into mental images, and to place the images in a series of imagined locations. I'll provide the details of the technique very soon. When he used this technique, his recall of a list of words after a 30-minute delay was improved from 0 out of 7 words to 9 out of 11 after just 1 2-hour session. My internship director, Dr. Ronczek, presented the results of this intervention at a national conference on rehabilitation from brain damage in Washington, D.C. in 1995. From 1994 to 2004, I taught about memory and performed mnemonic demonstrations for my college classes, such as memorizing my 40 students' names in one session and memorizing, in forward and backward order, random 50-digit numbers they called out. I also demonstrated to my students how they could use these techniques to memorize in a few minutes a 20-item list of new psychology terms, terms that would appear on the next exam. You don't need a doctorate in psychology to use these techniques. Time and again, more than half of my students recalled all 20 items after one demonstration. In Chapter 29, I'll show you how I demonstrated the technique to my students, and I'll supply the actual words they memorized. So, the odds are very good that you too will be able to profit from these tried and true techniques of memory mastery. The Art of Memory. In her fascinating book on the ancient history of memory techniques, The Art of Memory, Francis Yates notes that St. Thomas includes memory techniques in his discussion of the virtue of prudence, but he provides very little detail regarding the material to which it might be applied. Still, she writes, gradually the idea began to dawn that the Middle Ages might think of figures of virtues and vices as memory images, formed according to the classical rules. Yates also mentions St. Augustine's references to the mnemonic arts, and she muses that the glimpses into the memory of the most influential of the Latin fathers of the Church raise speculations as to what a Christianized artificial memory might have been like. Would human images of things, such as faith, hope, and charity, and of other virtues and vices, or of the liberal arts, have been placed in such a memory, and might the places now have been memorized in churches? This book, in fact, creates just such a Christianized artificial memory. And I think St. Thomas would approve, if not of the end product, then at least of the intent. I'll give you more details as we apply it to the subject matter in the chapters ahead. I'll also show you how you can adapt these memory techniques for the retention of all sorts of knowledge. You could apply them to information in the Catechism of the Catholic Church or in the Bible. You could use them to remember important details in your office or classroom. You could even apply these techniques to something as mundane as your grocery list. My wife is grateful for that one. The main memory system built into this book is simple, straightforward, and effective. Oddly enough, in our modern world of nearly universal formal education, it is little known, although it has been around in various adaptations for over 2,500 years. When I have demonstrated these memory techniques to college juniors and seniors, many times I have heard, "Why didn't anybody ever teach us this before?" That's why I call the first part of the book, The Stone the Builders Rejected. You might recall from Psalm 18, verse 22.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?